Happiness. Is it something I get or something that I give? Something I feel or how I live? I've searched for it. Man, I've searched for it. Far and wide. Across the oceans and dug down deep inside. And maybe I've been looking in all the wrong places. And materials and career and family and cyberspaces. Some say happiness is like falling in love, that you can't control it, and yet when you find it, it just fits like a glove. But if that's the case, how long can I stand? I'm supposed to be happy, right? Why hasn't it happened? With all these so-called blessings in my life, my car, my kids, my job, my wife, why do I still feel stuck in this mode of overload? I wake up, eat, drive, work, family, friends, kids, church, maintaining life through health and goods, the cost of living, the joy of parenthood, bills of luxury, fantasy of a break, no time to sleep, for goodness sake. Free to live, but slave to the dream of being happy. Can I do it? Can I be happy?
That's me, right there. How many can testify to that? Do I have a witness? Come on. You don't even know why. I mean, you could get up in the morning, it's beautiful like today, the sun's shining, your wife is kind to you, and you're like, thank you, baby. You have an amazing cup of coffee. You go to Starbucks and they get it just right. That shaken espresso with an extra shot in sweet cream instead of 2%, it's just topped off just right. It looks just right. The look matters. And you drink and you're like, man, this is it. This is my day. Your daughter, she's sweet. That's rare, right? Your son, he's out of town. Hallelujah. This is going really well. But for some reason, by midday, something happens. You get this weird feeling. You can't explain it. You become unhappy. It's like a little cloud. And you become Eeyore. And your wife looks at you and says, what's wrong? You're like, I don't know. Why are you unhappy? I don't know. What's causing the unhappiness? I don't No. Y'all been there, right? Maybe some of you are there right now looking at me like, yeah, that's me right now. I don't know why people are unhappy when they don't have a reason to be unhappy. But then I look at the world around me and I think, maybe that's the reason why. Look at that. What's going on? I mean, it's just a crazy world. Maybe that's the reason why people are unhappy. How do you be happy in an unhappy world? And I know today, and next Sunday, we're going to focus on this, how to be happy. But in order to learn how to be happy, I think we have to start off with this. What makes us unhappy? What is it that makes us unhappy? I've been thinking about this a lot. I've read through a number of different books. I listened to podcasts. I listened from a Christian point of view and even a scientific point of view, why people are unhappy. And I just forever could not wrap my mind around why people are unhappy. Reading through God's word, I still didn't get the answer. And then it hit me. It hit me right between the eyes, like right in this really shiny spot of my head. I know why people are unhappy. I finally get it. Now listen, I'm not a physician. I'm not. I don't understand the medication you may need. I'm not a therapist. I can't give you from a medical point of view why you are unhappy or what you need from a medical point of view. But I am a biblicist. I believe from a biblical point of view, I can give you a reason why you're struggling with the lack of happiness. Now, I'm not going to say you don't need some kind of medication. That you might be at that place in life. But in addition to that, I believe from a biblical point of view, there's some other things that need to be a part of your life. And I think this may help you, okay? How to be happy in an unhappy world. The reason why people are unhappy in life is because they haven't found fulfillment. They haven't found fulfillment. Let me explain. Paul said it this way in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now, may the God of hope fill you. Hear that? Fill you with all joy and peace and believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So scripture tells us that God can fill us with joy, hope, and peace. That is the trinity of happiness. Joy, hope, and peace. But in order to have that, there has to be a fulfillment in our lives. I'm going to illustrate this way. I'm going to do my very best to illustrate what I'm trying to say. If this is cheesy, just go with it. It don't matter. The Bible refers to us as a vessel. According to 2 Timothy in the New Testament, in Jeremiah chapter 18 in the Old Testament, we're referred to as a vessel. At one time, Jesus actually had a dispute with the Pharisees, and he reprimanded them and explained to them that they're like a vessel that's dirty inside. And they're so busy focusing on the outside, they miss the importance of what's in the inside. It was filthy, it's nasty, y'all are messed up people, and you're missing it. You're a vessel that was meant to be unto honor, and that is not the case with you. Now, for believers, what this means for us as a vessel, it's kind of like a cylinder, or symbolically speaking, like a vase or a vas, as some people say. If you're intelligent, I guess that's what you're supposed to say, vas. It's a vas. But the reality is, as a person, as a human, we were meant to have a completion of fulfillment. And that only comes by way of the filling, as this passage of Scripture says, the power of the Holy Spirit being filled with the Spirit. That means when you become a believer in Jesus Christ, you were meant to have this fulfillment. And Jesus comes through the Holy Spirit to dwell within you. There's this filling. Are you all following me so far? So what was once empty is now being filled, complete. There's a fulfillment. Jesus described this, and I mentioned this last week at our Easter service, as living water. It's springing up inside of you. It satisfies you. It quenches this thirst you have in the world where you're trying to figure out what's missing. It's a fulfillment that you need. So through the power of the Holy Spirit, you get this wonderful, beautiful fulfillment. All right? And here's the thing. That is what Jesus intended your life to look like. Clean, pure, fulfilled. That fulfillment through the Holy Spirit. But I believe the problem is this. In life, as believers, something happens. We go through life thinking, man, I got this. And then there's that day that I just mentioned a minute ago, comes about and you're like, wait, I don't have this. Something doesn't seem right, and then it snowballs you, and you go day after day after day, and then it goes month after month after month, and then year after year after year, and you don't have this complete fulfillment that you were meant to have through the power of the Holy Spirit. You're just missing something. You're just unhappy. You're unhappy in your marriage. You're unhappy with your kids. You're unhappy with yourself. You're unhappy with your dogs. I don't blame you. I'm very unhappy with my dogs. You're unhappy. There's just something not right, and you can't put your finger on it, but you know you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You know that the Holy Spirit indwells in you. There's a fulfillment there, but what went wrong? And here it is. I believe this with all of my heart. When you find true fulfillment in life, you will be a happier person. There's no doubt about it. But let me warn you, there's some things that can happen that prevent you from feeling that full fulfillment that Jesus meant for you to have. There's something missing. There's this hole, if you would, in your life, and you can't explain what caused it, where it came from, or what it necessarily is, but you know it's there. And because of it, this is what happens, okay? Because of it, I'm going to use a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because of that, what we were meant to look like, the fullness of the Spirit, there's something missing. Something has happened. And we get to a point where you're excited, you're on fire for God. You feel like you have this fulfillment. The Holy Spirit lives within you. There's no doubt about it. You can see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But then there's this moment where you start to become unhappy. And the more people dump into your life, the more it just pours out. People are like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. Why are you unhappy? Aren't you a Christian? Yes. Man, don't you have a community of people that love you? Yes. Don't you have a family that loves you? Yes. Then what's wrong? I don't know. I know I have this fulfillment in Christ, but something's preventing me from having that fullness that I was meant to have. There's something missing. There's a missing link in my life, and I'm not sure exactly what it is. And it's causing me to be unhappy. And until I fill this, I don't think I'll ever have that fulfillment that I was meant to have in Jesus Christ. Something is wrong. And what we do in life is this. What we'll try to do is to plug that hole, if you would, fill that void with things. You know what I'm saying? Like, for instance, somebody is lonely, they get involved in a sexual lifestyle. I'm like, I'm lonely. This is how I'm going to fulfill this emptiness I have. I don't know what else to do. And then others, they're struggling in their mind, so they revert to like marijuana, and they're like, man, it just makes me feel good. It clears my mind. I don't know what else to do. But the more they take in, the more goes out. Because it's not true fulfillment. It's not solving the problem. There's still something missing. So, well, we're struggling in our marriage, so we tried pornography. Still something's missing. And for a season, you're going to find fulfillment in those things, and you might be happy, but it's not going to bring you what you need. People are like, man, I've been suffering and hurting inside because of a loss I had, so I've reverted to alcohol. But you know, it goes back to this. It's not going to fix the issue. It's just going to keep on dumping out, and you'll never find satisfaction. So what is the missing link? What's going on here? What is missing in my life? And what I'm about to say for some of you is going to be like, I don't know about that. There's only one word that defines what's missing in your life. And that one word is this. This one thing, the missing piece to happiness, is found in purpose. Now you're thinking, I know what my purpose is. Do you? Are you sure? Maybe after today you will. But I'm not fully confident that most people know what their purpose is. Today I'm going to focus on that one word, and I'm going to do that by explaining why your purpose is critical to your happiness. People that are unhappy in life are missing purpose. Purpose. Okay, everybody with me? One of the biggest questions in life is not, what is my purpose in life? The biggest question in life should be, what is God's purpose for my life? Are y'all with me? What is God's purpose for my life? So God's purpose for mankind is twofold. It's the two sides of the coin of happiness. I'm going to say that again. It's the two sides to the coin of happiness in life. It is God's universal purpose and God's personal purpose. There is a universal purpose and there is a personal purpose. Let me explain. The universal purpose is God, is this idea that God created every human being with the same purpose: to know God, to love God, and to serve God. That is his universal purpose for everybody. Doesn't matter if they live in China, the Philippines, the UK, everybody's purpose when it comes to the universal purpose of God is the same: to know God, to love God, and to serve God. But the personal purpose of God, what God intends for you as an individual, is unique and distinct only to you. It is a unique purpose to accomplish in life what God intended for you to accomplish as an individual. That's defined as a personal purpose. Is everybody with me? I'm going to say that 1,000 times because I need you to focus. Because if you walk out of here and you're still pouting and you're unhappy, then you missed it. You missed it, okay? And I don't want you to miss it. These two things in life, the universal and the personal purpose, work in conjunction together. You can't have one without the other. You say, yes, you can. Okay, let me clarify. You can, but you won't be happy. You won't be happy. See, if you understand your personal purpose, I am a mother, I am a father, I am an employee, I am a principal, I'm a teacher, I'm a pastor, great. But if you left out your universal purpose and you bypass that, you will not be a successful, happy principal, teacher, pastor, son, daughter, mother, father. It's not going to work because they work in conjunction together. They're the both sides. They're the two sides, to happiness. So if I know God, I love God, and I'm serving God, then I will be the most sufficient daughter and son and mother and father. You all follow me? Because I'm following the most important thing in life, God's purpose for my life. So how do we do that? How do we accomplish this? I'm going to help you, okay? First is the universal purpose. Now, I know this room is filled with people that are not novice. You people that are with me today, you wonderful people, know God's word. I'm sure of it. You're not a novice when it comes to scripture. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time with this universal purpose, but I do want to explain it to you because it's vitally important. And by the way, again, if you are that vessel that's empty and the Holy Spirit doesn't indwell in you and you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, that is primary.
purpose of life. That is number one. You will always be unhappy unless you have accepted Jesus Christ, and until you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You'll always have an emptiness. It's more than a hole. There's a complete emptiness inside because something is missing. Y'all follow me? But for those that are believers in Jesus Christ and you have the filling of the Holy Spirit, we need to focus primarily on this missing link, which is that hole in our life's purpose. And so here we are, the universal purpose. It's to know God, to love God, to serve God. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. This is what God's word says. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know him. This is Paul. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. Mankind's relationship with God thousands of years ago was severed because of sin. Everybody knows that. If you're a part of the body of Christ, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you realize that the day you became a Christian because you knew that your relationship wasn't right. It was severed because of sin and it needed to be restored. And the only way that relationship is restored, that restoration and redemption, is through the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago. And because of that, that relationship can be restored, and through Jesus making intervention for us to the Heavenly Father, we have a relationship with God. Everybody with me? That's through the resurrection we celebrated last week. And that is vitally understood for those that are believers in Jesus Christ. It's important for them to fully grasp that that is the beginning. That is salvation. And then we have this thing called sanctification. It's developing that relationship. Not just having a knowledge of God in your heart, but a knowledge of God as an individual. From the mind, the soul, everything that embodies you, from your strength, in your mind, in your vision of life and what it's all about, it encompasses you all together. Now watch, stay with me. I don't want you to lose focus. The universal purpose of God, knowing God. In order to know God on that level, you have to give your life to Christ. That's salvation. The next step is to grow in your faith. That's sanctification. That means you're knowing God and developing this relationship through His Word and through the not just the reading of God's Word, but your time of prayer and meditation. I think people miss this, but Peter really emphasized this in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. He said it this way, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You have to develop and grow in your relationship. I cannot say that I know my wife if I don't spend time with my wife. I can't say I know my wife if I don't talk to my wife or listen to my wife. It's just not going to work. There's not going to be a proper relationship in the home if I'm not cultivating those things. The same goes with God. Just like that relationship I have with my wife, it takes time to grow in your relationship with God. It is crucial. It is crucial that we seek God's presence, that we seek to know God. And because of that, the Bible says, if we do that, if you seek me, you will find me. And when you search for me with all of your heart, you will know me. Scripture makes it clear. So the universal purpose for everybody is to know God, to become a believer, salvation, to grow in grace is sanctification. But it doesn't stop there. He wants you to love him. Listen, don't tell me you love God if you're not prioritizing God. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm so tired of hearing people say, I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But they don't do anything for Jesus. They don't serve him. They don't honor him. They don't live for him. They don't communicate with him. There's no relationship with him. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said this himself. Luke chapter 10, verse 27. So he answered and said, ye shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. That is the only way to properly love God. Every part of you, every entity of who you are has to be in submission to who he is and to love him, to submit to him. I can't say I love my wife. Going back to my wife again. I can't say I love my wife if I don't prioritize my wife. If I'm prioritizing you guys and my ministry above my wife, then I probably do not love my wife like Christ loved the church. Something is wrong. Okay? Don't tell me you love God when you prioritize everything above God. Your career is more important than your relationship with God. Your relationship with that guy or that woman is more important than your relationship with God. Don't tell me you love God if those things are your greatest focus in life, your hobby, your sports. Come on now. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you love God if you are not prioritizing God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. because you're not truly loving God to the fullness if you're prioritizing other things. That is part of the universal purpose that God intended us for to have, to know God, to love God, and to serve God. That's part of it. Ephesians, this is Paul again, said in chapter 6 and verse 6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now verse 7 goes a little bit deeper. With goodwill doing service as to the Lord and not to men. We are a self-serving generation. It's all about me, me, me. I want instant gratification. That's why we can't just make a sandwich. We go buy a sandwich at the fast food. You know, that's what we do. We have instant gratification. We are not going to wait for it to come out in theaters. We're going to stream it right into our home. That's when we're going to watch the movie. When we want it, we get it. That's the way we work. Do you realize that is a problem? Because of that, we've prioritized ourselves and we begin to serve ourselves and nothing else matters. And so we're missing the universal will and purpose of God because our focus is wrong. Do you know that the more you feed your desires and tap into that dopamine, if you would, and get that quick self-gratification and that excitement, the more you do that, the more satisfaction you get, the more you've trained yourself to please yourself above everybody else. And you'll eventually notice in your home that your wife is not prioritized, or your husband's not prioritized, or your kids are not prioritized, your work, you're not prioritizing their needs. You are only consumed with your own needs. Everybody wants it the way they want it. You know, it's said that if you spend 3 hours or more on social media, you're more likely to suffer with depression and anxiety than anybody else. It's a proven fact. They say if you are that type of person that you're just moping and it's all about you and nobody cares about me and you're just sucking your thumb and you're saying, I'm not going to be around anybody, nobody, Johnny, nobody. It's just me, me, and me alone. And you get to that point and you pull away from your community and you pull away from your friends. The Bible makes it very clear what's going to happen, but science does too. It's a proven fact that you are going to suffer with depression, anxiety, and it's even proven that you may suffer with heart disease. Imagine that. It affects every part of your body. So if you think that you're doing just fine by pleasing yourself and doing it in your way and all by yourself, it is not going to work. You are going to be unhappy. Jesus made it very clear that he came not just to seek and to save that which is lost, but he also made it clear that he came to serve, not to be served. And we are to do the same. The greatest feeling in the world is to serve people. I love it. I would be a poor, rich man if I had money because I would love just to give. Give. There's an elderly guy I know. He's lives in Tennessee. I served with him on staff at a church for about 6 years, five, 6 years. And he's in his 80s now. And he said, Dave, I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to play the lottery. I'm going to play the lottery. I'm going to buy a number of lottery tickets because it's up to $1 billion. And Dave, I want you to know, Thrive Church is getting $1 million. I said, well, you need to buy some more tickets, buddy. He said, not only that, Dave, just for the heck of it, I'm going to give your family $1 million too if I win. I'm like, good, good, that's good. I'm not endorsing the lottery, but I'll take your money, all right? And he's like, man, I just want to give. I just feel so good to give. I wish I had that money to give. Some of you don't know what it is to give of your time, talent, and treasures. You're like, a lot of people know what it is to suck off everybody. Just like, you know, can I have some time with you? Just to tell you about my problems. Can you meet with me? I don't mind meeting with people, but if that becomes your focus, is you, and you're not willing to meet with others and invest in others, you're lacking true happiness. If you're always like, man, I'm going to save as much money as I can. I'm going to buy this, that, and the other. Hey, listen, that's all that matters. Bigger and better, bigger and better. Listen, you're missing it. There's no satisfaction in that because you're serving yourself. And that is not the universal will of God. That is not God's purpose for your life. It is for you to know God, to love God, and serve God. We love God, love others, and serve both. That is greatest satisfaction in life. Through that, that is what life really, truly is about. After becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, being filled with the Spirit, that right there, the universal will of God, completes everything else in life because it is the missing link in so many people's lives to know God, to love God, and serve God. But let me not stop there, okay? This is going to be way more personal, okay? Because literally the point is the personal purpose, okay? Our purpose is not just the universal purpose of God, but it is a personal purpose, okay? I think this has helped me more than anything I've ever experienced when preparing a message, because it really spoke to me. Our purpose, our personal purpose from God, is intentional. Our purpose is intentional. Psalms 139, verse 14, I will praise you, which is God, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are the works that my soul knows very well. Marvelous are your works. What is the work of God? We are the work of God. We are each unique in design, and because we are fearfully and wonderfully made, we have a specific purpose that God designed only for you. Nobody else. When I was a kid, Mom used to say, Dave, you're like a snowflake. You're just unique. There's no snowflake alike. You are a snowflake, beautiful snowflake. I don't want to be a snowflake in today's day and age, but back then I thought, well, that's cool. I'm a snowflake. And the reality is, we're more than just a snowflake. We are a unique design by God for a purpose and for a reason, and it's personal. It is unique specifically for you. You know what Psalms 139 verses 13 through 16 says about us and what the way God made us? It says He formed us, He made us, He framed us, and He fashioned us. There is a lot of intentionality when it comes to you. God had a specific purpose in mind when He created you. If we do not live our lives in the way that God designed us, then we will never find true fulfillment, and we will not be happy, we will be frustrated, we will be aggravated, and we will not truly know what it is to be happy. Let me explain. This is a hammer. This is a screwdriver. It's a very big screwdriver. You'll notice with the screwdriver, it's got a lot of nicks on it, right? Look at this. A lot of scratches and nicks on this. And the reason why, let me say this before I explain why. The hammer is designed with a purpose, to drive in nails. Screwdriver is designed with a purpose to screw in screws. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? All right, cool. But when I'm in a pinch, I specifically pull this screwdriver out to fulfill this hammer's job, what it was designed to do. I use it as a hammer. That's why it's all nicked up. And I'm just going at it, trying to nail in a nail with a screwdriver. This is what I've learned when I do that. One, I'm frustrated because I'm not getting the same results. Two, I'm very unhappy. I'm very unhappy because this doesn't feel good in the hand when you're trying to nail in a nail because it's not a hammer. Here's something else I've learned. I'm abusing the tool. This is not what it was made and designed to do. And in the end, I'm not just frustrated, I'm not just unhappy, but my tools are abused because this is not the purpose of a screwdriver. Get this, you're unique. Stop trying to do and be something you were not designed to do and be. You're a grandmother? Stop comparing yourself to every other grandmother. Well, they go on vacation and they do this and they do this and they do this. I should be doing that. No, you should not be doing that. Well, they get up every morning. They look like a movie star. You're not a movie star. So stop trying to be a movie star. Some of you are introverts, but you're trying to be an extrovert. That's not the way God designed you. And you're going to be very unhappy trying to accomplish that because that's not who you are. Some of you need to quit your job. Not tomorrow. Find a job first and then quit your job. And the reason why is because you're trying to be happy in an environment you were not designed to be in. Some of you have a community that you should not have because that community is abusing you and using you and trying to make you into something you were never meant to be. You will never, ever, ever be happy if you continue to try to fulfill this purpose when you had a different purpose. You following me? That is vitally important. People go through life because they're unhappy in life because they're trying to be and do something they were never meant to be and do. Man, I had to learn the hard way. When I was a youth pastor in Tennessee, straight out of college, 23 years old, before I even got married, 9 months I was a youth pastor and I lived alone. I was so desperate to please my pastor that I wanted to do whatever he wanted me to do instead of what God wanted me to do. And my personality was like, I like to joke around. That's just who I am. That's the way God designed me. So when I preach, I joke around. When I'm with people, I joke around. Spend time with people, I joke around. Pastor pulled me in his office and he said, Dave, this is what you need to do. Stop joking around. Get up there and preach. And that's what you all, that's all you need to focus on, preaching God's word. Stop joking around. So, well, I'm not trying to joke around to make light of God's word. I'm just, this is my personality. Well, whatever it is, stop doing it. So guess what I try to do? I try to be what he wanted me to be instead of what God wanted me to be. So I was using my life like a hammer, but I'm a screwdriver. And because of that, I was so unhappy. By the way, that's just symbolic. I hope you grab that picture. I was so unhappy, but I tried and I tried and I tried. And I was frustrated and I was exhausted. And before you know it, I'm a grown man crying in my living room with my wife saying, I do not like what I'm doing anymore. I am miserable. I don't want to do this anymore. I'd rather work at Walmart and hang with the old people at the door and say hello than do this anymore. I never want to preach again. And some of you, you're tired. You're exhausted. You're sick of being a mother. You're sick of being a father. You're sick of being a husband. You're sick of being a wife. You're sick of being single. You're sick of being in that relationship that you're dating that individual. Whatever the case may be, you better evaluate what's going on in that situation and make sure you're not trying to be something you were not meant to be. That the personal purpose that God has for you, his purpose for your life, is very intentional. He designed you in a very unique way. It wasn't until I left Tennessee, went to Ohio, and got on staff at Fellowship Baptist Church that I was happy being a preacher, because I was who I was meant to be. I could finally be this instead of trying to do everything like this. And it didn't work. I'm fully convinced, absolutely convinced, that people are struggling with happiness because they don't know their personal purpose. And it's not just intentional, but it's also seasonal. Don't lose me here. This is going to be unusual because a lot of people don't say it this way, but I'm going to because I think it's biblical. I know it's biblical. It's seasonal, which means that your purpose changes over time. You say, I thought God's purpose never changes. It doesn't when it comes to the universal purpose of God. It will never change. For you to know God, love God, and serve God. That is the universal purpose of God that never changes. But your personal purpose will change over time. And the way that works is this. Sometimes it changes naturally, and sometimes it changes because you have to choose to change. I'll break it down for you. Let's make sure we're biblical about this. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1 through verse 8 kind of gives the big picture when it comes to the season of purpose. I'm going to have you read the first verse with me. Everybody with me? The first verse says this. Let's read it together. Let's not make this awkward. Let's try to read it together, okay? To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Now, you didn't read that too well. Let's try it again. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. To everything there's a season. A time for every what? Purpose under heaven. There's a time for your purpose. There's a season for your purpose. I'm going to read the rest, okay? A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. A time to gather stones. I don't know what that means, but if you're into casting away and gathering stones, there is a time for it. A time to embrace. Whoa, hold on here. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. For those that don't like to hug, there you go. It's biblical. There is a time for it, Chad. All right. And then in a time to gain and a time to lose and a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent. Some of you need to underline that in your Bible. And a time to speak and a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What's the point? There's a time for everything. And when it comes to your purpose, which verse 1 says, there is a time for it. There is a period of time, it's called a season, for that. I'm going to break it down and make it very simple. Your personal purpose in life will eventually change. There are seasons of life that will naturally change, and there are seasons of life that will that we must choose to change in order to be happy. Don't lose me here because I'm almost done. I'm going to finish this up, okay? The natural changes in life kind of work like this. Let's go way back. When I was a kid, senior year, my purpose in life at that moment was to obey my parents, to get good grades, which I didn't do too well at, and graduate from high school. That was the purpose for my life at that time. Of course, there was other things that were involved in my life. I surrendered to preach, and I knew my purpose was to preach. But at that specific season of my life, that was my personal purpose. And then it naturally changed because I graduated from high school. I went to college. Now my purpose was to go finish up college, get my degree, get a pastoral position. That was my purpose. That was my vision. That was my goal. That was what I was reaching for. Some of you are not reaching for anything, and that's a problem in itself. You know, if you don't reach for something, you got nothing, all right? And you're just existing. So purpose is part of reaching, okay? And then all of a sudden, I graduated. Hallelujah. I got a degree. Can you imagine that? And then I got married. That's even a bigger miracle. Guess where I'm at now in life? Guess what season I'm in now? Guess what my purpose is now? To love my wife as Christ loved the church. Then we had kids. To train up my children in the way they should go. And then it was to be the best pastor I possibly could before for God, not for the pastor I was serving at that time. Y'all follow me? That was the season I was in. That was my purpose, and I knew that, and I was being very intentional about it. And I didn't want anything to pull me away from that because that's the season I was in. And then I came to Fellowship Baptist Church, and I became a pastor and the executive pastor, and I was there for 14 years. That was a long season. And then I came to Thrive Church, where we started Thrive Church, and this has been a short season so far. But the point is this. I was focused on the season I was in, and I owned it. Some of you are not owning the season you're in. You're pouting about it and you're unhappy with it. Understand that season is there for a reason. If you're not married yet, there's a reason. If you're married, there's a reason because God graced you with that person in your life. Own it, especially if it was God's will and not your will and you married them out of God's will, not your own will. You following me? So the seasons that we go through are very important and they change through life. And then there's some seasons we go through that we have to make an intentional decision to change. All right, watch this. When I got married, me and my wife, we had this liberty to have holidays wherever we wanted to celebrate the holiday. We could go to my mother and father-in-law's, we could go to my mom and dad's house, we could stay home, we did whatever we wanted because it was just me and Brianna. So in this season, we chose to go at New Year's to my mom and dad's, and then I think we were celebrating for a period of time Thanksgiving or Christmas at my mother and father-in-law's, and it worked, right? That was a choice we made. It was very purposeful. And then we had kids, and then we had to change because our purpose as a family was different. We realized that our kids needed to be focusing on our family and our time together at Christmas, so we decided we're not going anywhere at Christmas. We're going to just stay home and enjoy this time. This made us happy. This is the season of life we're in, and that's okay. And then we would go to Alabama for New Year's, and I think we were going home for Thanksgiving with my mom, my mother, and father-in-law, and we celebrated Christmas at that time. We just had a groove in which we did things, but it changed. And we had to make that decision to change, or we would have been unhappy. Some of you don't know how to change. You say, well, this is what we're doing for all these years, and I ain't changing. Are you happy? Some of you are like, my kids are in 15 different sports, and this is what we do. Well, maybe it needs to change because it looks like you might be stressed out and unhappy. And guess what? I don't think that's the purpose God has for your life. Stop it. Stop it. Stop complaining about how miserable you are if you're putting the misery in your life because you are not changing. You know why some older folks are miserable and unhappy? Because they don't like change. They go to Bob Evans and they're like, man, I want a grits. Why ain't I got grits? Because we don't have grits anymore. Well, you can get oatmeal. I don't want oatmeal. If I wanted oatmeal, I would order oatmeal. It's okay. It's okay if we change because it's not available. We need to learn to adapt and make changes. I'm not trying to be silly. I'm serious. It's the old couch mentality. Stay with me. Some of you have heard this. We talked about this yesterday. When I got married, we had this old couch my mom and dad gave us. It's ugly, very retro, all kinds of weird colors in it, but that's all I had. And my mom and dad used to have that couch, and when I was a kid, I used to sit on that couch. I used to beat up my brothers. I beat up my brothers on that couch. There was a lot of stuff that went on in our living room because we're guys and just beating on each other on that couch. So it was kind of broken some places, but it was still a good couch. So my mom and dad gave me that couch. Had a lot of memories from my childhood because of that couch. And then we got married, and we'd watch movies on that couch, and we'd make out on that couch. It just got weird. I know. I just had to say that. But anyway, we had kids, and we'd change their diapers on the couch. couch, right? And then there's some chummage that got on the couch and things just got nasty. And here's the reality. I wasn't willing to let go of the couch because we've had it for so long. I mean, think of all our memories. All the memories of that couch right there, that weird, nasty spot. That's when I was changing Christian's diaper and things didn't go well. And this happened. And we laugh and we roll our eyes and we're thinking this is ridiculous. But some of you are doing that in life. You're holding on to something like the old couch and you don't want to get rid of the old couch, even though the old couch is not comfortable, even though the old couch is not pleasant and people don't want to sit on it. You are forcing your family to continue in that and you're not willing to change and your purpose has changed. You're not the same person. Your family's not the same person. So stop trying to make it work. Get rid of the old couch. Change is good. It's not a bad thing. We see a lot of change throughout God's word. And I'm going to close with this. If you guys don't realize the importance of God's universal purpose and your personal purpose and how God is intentional about your life and he's in your purpose is seasonal, it'll change and you have to choose to change sometimes and sometimes it naturally changes. You will never be happy. So when I was 23 years old and I was still single, I had realized that there was a reason at that moment in my life that I was single. That was God's purpose in my life at that moment. When I was a youth pastor, I realized that was the season God put me in. And I couldn't understand when he moved me from a youth pastor position to an assistant pastor position because I didn't want to leave. I had no intentions of leaving Tennessee. I didn't want to live in Ohio. I didn't want to live in the North. I never went to the North. I didn't understand the North. They were weird. They were different. They talked and they got snow. And I don't like that. And so I had to realize that it's not my will, but his will. And sometimes when we submit to his will, it's not always comfortable. And some of you right now are thinking to yourself, what about my life? I am experiencing pain. I have a lack of happiness because I'm unhealthy. This is where I'm at in life right now, Dave. Can you tell me, is there really purpose in this season I'm in? I mean, is there really anything good in the brokenness I feel right now? Can you tell me, Dave, from God's word, how I can be happy with what I'm going through right now? I can't say what you're going through is because God put it on you. But I can say what Satan meant for evil, God meant for good. And he will use it for good. And his purpose will be done through that in a profound way, just like his purpose for Paul in Philippians 4:11 was. He said this, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I'm in, to be content." I don't know. I don't know if you can learn to be content. I don't know when you get that verdict from the doctor and as they say, this ain't looking good, if you can go, okay, I got this. Or you're just going to let everything God intended for your life at that season in life just to pour out. And you say, no, I can't. I can't accept this. I can't be happy. I've met people that I wondered, how are you happy? But they were. And I didn't get it how they were happy. I just don't get it. But they were. Your circumstances can't define you. You understand? You find happiness no matter what circumstance you're in, and God will bless you for that because God made you unique for whatever you're going through, and only you can go through that. You don't have my son and my daughter. You know why? Because I was created for Christian and Ellie, not you. It's easy to raise somebody else's family and point fingers until you're in my home running my life and my family. You see? Some of you are dealing with stuff because you can handle it, and God is not going to give you more than you can handle. It's that season you're in. It's not going to last forever. You're going to get through it. Seasons are periods of time. Don't stop. I didn't stop when I was 19 and I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. I didn't stop when I lost my youth pastor position in Tennessee. I didn't stop moving forward when God said, hey, you're no longer at Fellowship. Now you're at Thrive. I didn't stop because that's the season I'm in. Y'all follow me? When you stop, you'll be unhappy. That's it. That's it. That's the missing link. That's the whole purpose. What's your purpose?